Hello everyone, it's Caitlin Johnston here. We're here with Tim Foley and we're about to start the cocoon sessions. Yeah, it's quarantine time and I think it's time to pull out the old microphone, dust it off and do a special, some special editions of Going Rogue. Maybe not the high octane going rogue that we were doing, but something a little more gentle, a little calmer on the nervous system. And just talk about what we're going through right now, what we see you guys going through. I think it would just be really good to kind of connect and share stories about this very strange time we are going through. Hello, Tim Foley.
Howdy. Yeah, the cocoon sessions, I like that name. That's a simile that I hadn't really thought of until you mentioned it, that we're all kind of going into a sort of hibernation state and maybe coming out hopefully a little better.
Hopefully into butterflies.
Yeah.
That's my hope. But yeah, I mean, it's been forced upon us. In some ways though, I feel like we've been running on empty for so long to have an enforced break like this is, can only be a good thing for our bodies.
Well, it's like normal sickness when you drive yourself really hard at work. A lot of the times, it's kind of your body's way of getting you to just rest and stop for a little while, right? You get sick, and then you, what do? You call in sick from work. You stop working, you stay in your pajamas and drink orange juice and watch cartoons, or at least I do.
Yeah.
And
I like to be in baths and chill out with, I love seltzer water and, yeah, but orange juice and you look after yourself, don't you? You finally get a chance to kind of self-soothe and self-comfort and self-heal.
And you stopped getting sick when you just started doing that regularly, right?
Yeah, that's right. I used to get the flu like every year. Practically every year, and I realized the last time I got it, I was like in the bath thinking, why don't I do this? Like, I only ever have baths when I've got the flu. Why don't I just start making this a regular practice? And maybe my body won't like come to a grinding halt and make me do it. Like, that was kind of like a big awakening into my body, like some body awareness that it's just not. You can't expect your brain to run the show all the time and just to be pushing, 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 pushing without your body screaming, no, stop, that's enough, that's enough. I've got to lie down now. I've got to lie down. So, yeah, from that, I've never had it since. Touch wood. And, you know, we'll see. I think we're all going to get this this coronavirus thing. But
yeah, or at least I think we get herd immunity at maybe 70%, I've heard.
Right.
Who knows? They don't really know a lot about it.
Yeah.
We'll see, I guess.
Yeah. But as two fairly healthy people, I guess we'll be okay.
Yeah. So we're trying to do our part and minimize the number of bodies that are moving around, getting old people sick.
Yeah. So we started self-quarantining. On Friday, was it? Or Thursday?
Something. Yeah, I think Saturday. Friday or Saturday.
Right.
Yeah, Friday we went out.
Oh, you did too. So, yeah, we just decided, okay, well, that's enough.
Because I guess that's the idea. You know, we're plugged into the conspiracy sphere, so everyone's going to have really strong opinions about this. And of course, we don't know everything there is to know about this virus, but it looks like it's probably going to kill a lot of old people. And the best way to help minimize that is to take the burden off the healthcare system so that hopefully when old people get sick, and they will, they can get all the help they need, get oxygen and ventilators and stuff so that they don't die.
Right.
And so that other people don't die from not being able to get into the hospital. And I've heard a lot of people say, like, well, why don't we just quarantine the old people? Why don't they just self-quarantine? But you can't. no human being can actually completely cut themselves off from the world. That's not, you can't live in a biosphere. It's not a thing. You need to be interacting with humans at some point. And the fewer number of those humans that they do interact with, whether it's delivering them their groceries or whatever, at the, someone at the checkout counter, if they're not sick, then that's better.
Yeah, it's just, it's better that we slow down the rate of spread. So yeah, we, I mean, we're doing okay for things. We, like...
Someone gave us some toilet paper. That was great.
Yeah, that was really
he sold it, but...
yeah.
The clerk at the gas station heard Caitlin's tales of worrying about not being able to get toilet paper and...
I did not plead my case. No, he was sweeter than that. It was not... It was... I went in there and said, oh, is there any toilet paper? And he said, nah. And I said... Oh, no worries. And then he called out and he said, how low are you? And I said, we've got two rolls and, you know, two kids. and he was like, and I said, don't worry about it though. We'll be fine. You know, cause we're, of course you can use a lot of things for toilet paper. So, you know, my grandparents used to use the yellow pages, the phone book. It's like, it's not, this toilet paper thing is, you know, is kind of strange, but yeah. And then he, like, as soon as I went, like, I went up to the counter with a few other things that we needed, and there was this magnificent 20 pack of Quilton best quality 3-ply. Oh, the most beautiful of all toilet paper, like, yeah, in a big. And he's like, oh, look, I bought two this morning, I probably could get by with one.
What a sweetheart. That's, you know, I hear everyone right now talking, I'm all freaked out about how everyone's being so bad. You know, there's videos of people fighting over toilet paper and look at the groceries. Everyone's just panic buying. There's nothing for me. Everyone's so selfish and bad. There's a lot of good things happening. They don't get as much shares. They don't get as many shares. They don't get as much attention.
Yeah.
But there's the goodness that you're seeing in people. And it's like this in every disaster. If you look at all the people looking after each other in the wake of 9/11, when that happened, everyone was just helping each other out, escape from the falling building and get away from there. The
Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah, hurricanes. There's always people in boats and stuff.
The tsunami in Indonesia.
Right.
Yeah. Any major event, any big disaster like this, I mean, there's always like a, you know, there's always some assholes, of course. But generally, most people's desire is to help each other because suddenly, and I think this is like I've got 16 observations about the crisis coming up. We'll go through them one by one. But one of the major things is that in a crisis like this, especially when the economies went as well, is that goodwill currency, like our original currency, the currency of giving and taking and helping each other out and being helped out and, you know, how that works, the original currency of goodwill takes over from the normal money currency that we use. And so suddenly it's just in your benefit to be helpful and to look after people as much as you can, because you will be looked after in return. And people innately know that, because that's our original
that's currency. That's their default knowledge, but they've been kind of trained out of it a lot by a lot of them, like apocalyptic movies and stuff,
right,
where it's always Mad Max and the zombie apocalypse, where it's always everyone, every man for himself, and I'll kill you with a katana if you try to come near my food supplies. That's what we've been trained to expect when the shit hits the fan. We've been trained to expect.
But that's our thinky brain. That's our egoic brain. Mm. You know, the part of ourself that wants to be separate all the time, thinks that it's Mr. Independent and it's fine, it can get by itself and, you know, doesn't need anyone and, like, so...
That's so precious.
Isn't it so cute?
Can you
cute?
Imagine if ants went around doing that? There would be no ants.
There wouldn't be. I'm sure there's one. If you watched A Colony, there would be one little guy like, yeah, I don't need any of you.
Go it alone.
Yeah.
I can hunt my own food. I'm perfectly well adapted for that.
Rugged individualism with its little copy of, you know, Atlas Shrugged. Yeah. So, where were we?
I don't know. Do you want to do your 16 points?
Sure. Yeah.
So you have things that should be becoming very obvious to everyone right now. Number one, America's health system is not the best in the world, not by a long way.
Right. I think that now when I said that to you before we came on air, you were like, "No, well, no one's ever thought that," but that's not true.
That's actually false. You're right. That's not true at all. It's kind of everyone kind of knows it now.
Yeah.
But that was the thing that people would say to argue against socialized medicine back when socialized medicine was this batshit crazy, outlandish idea. It was, people fly in from all over the world for our medical care. No, they don't.
Our waiting rooms are filled with foreigners, you know, like waiting for the best surgery in the world or whatever. It's like, no, why would they do that? They can get it at home for free.
Then there was that like Norway Facebook post from some school in Norway saying, so if students are traveling abroad in some shithole country where they don't have a healthcare system like America, you should come home right away, because this is not a good time to be in those countries. Yeah. Not in those words, but basically that's what they said. They talked about America like it's a third world country. And all the people were talking about like, oh, big burn by Norway. Oh, they burned us. But they weren't. They weren't trying to burn anybody.
No,
they were just saying like, yeah, stay away from those guys.
Yeah,
That just really is the thing that normal countries with a normal healthcare system think about America when they know about America's healthcare system.
Well, and I think that came into frame with internet consciousness,
right?
We started getting connected over the web and then started talking to each other about our experience of, you know, life and stuff. And then I was like, oh my god, these Americans don't, like, they don't go to the doctor if they can help it. They, you know, it costs them heaps of money if they go. All these things were really strange to me, like, and then I would try and explain what, you know, my situation was, which was kind of a nothing situation. It's hard to explain, I think, to Americans. For me, the hardest bit is to explain how I just don't think about healthcare. Right. I never have to worry about it. I don't ever think of like how much money it's going to cost, and when I worry if my kid gets sick, I worry about my kid getting sick. I don't worry about, you know, how much it's going to cost.
And for me, I always had to worry about that in America. On, you know, as a healthcare worker on shitty Kaiser Permanente, I always had to, if I had some sort of problem or something. I remember I hurt my ribs in jiu-jitsu one time, and I chose not to go to the doctor because that's just going to be some expenses that I don't need right now.
Right.
And time off work or whatever. You actually have to choose to forgo things. Most people do. Most Americans can't afford $1,000 emergency expense.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's
there's
like 2/3 of Americans or some shit like that.
Right. And Americans seem to be coming up with these vast sums of money every month to pay for health insurance as well. Like, because I had the idea that it was paid for by your employer, which is kind of, you know, an abusive relationship. Right. As, you know, it's kind of like there's financial abuse there, because that means that you can't, well, you'll think twice about leaving a job.
Well, yeah, and a lot of jobs have it so that you can leave and you can still have insurance after you leave, but you have what's called COBRA, which is ridiculously expensive. You're just paying $1,000 a month or something completely unaffordable for months until your benefits for your next job kick in. And that's enough of a deterrent for a lot of people to stay in horrible jobs, just that by itself. If you're on any kind of medication or anything, if you got diabetes or something, it's like, oh, I'm stuck in this dead end, awful, horrible job because I can't afford the COBRA payments.
Right. But I at least thought the insurance took care of your health. Like, I thought you get a job, you don't think about it anymore.
No, you got most of the time you always have co-pays, and a lot of the time you have a deductible where you just have to pay out of pocket up until a certain point, and that can be $1,500 or something. It's or more for a lot of people. You got Americans with insurance paying $600,000 a month for their medicine that insurance is supposed to cover.
Insane. So insane. And even the idea of copay when you've got insurance. Like what? Anyway. So yeah, I feel like that has fully come into the light.
Right. You'd never get anyone, even the hardest core right wingers, never try to tell you, like in the comments, that America has the best healthcare system. It's
I do occasionally. It's so fun. Yeah. Very, very rarely now, though.
Yeah, usually it's just something like, but you know, our government is so awful. I don't trust them to handle it.
Yeah. That's what it's come down to, actually. That's the big thing now.
Number two, China is running rings around the U.S. in terms of global leadership.
Yeah, I feel like, from an Australian perspective right now, I know that Australia is not looking to America right now here's leadership. What are they doing? And we should do that too. But, you know, maybe we could get some help from them because, you know, we're a small country.
Well, fucking ScoMo probably is. He really seems like he's kind of looking to America for...
Yeah, he does, actually. I think he's looking to Q for guidance, actually. The weird things he does. It's so strange.
Or maybe not Q, but like his weird pastor guys.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff. There's fucking... I thought I'd escaped them. I thought I'd escaped those freak preacher people.
I kind of sold that to you, too, as well. I was like, oh, you know, we're really like... There's not a lot of religion here, generally.
Yeah, it's no big deal, except the most powerful guy in the country. He's totally into that shit.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't... I mean, you know, our prime minister changes every 5 months or something. Right, but yeah.
I only just barely decided to learn this one's name. All right. This one's stuck around for 5 minutes. I'll keep him around.
Yeah, but Scott Morrison is a part of this big church called Hillsong, which is like a very Pentecostal, evangelical sort of situation, which is quite new to us, like probably only been going 25 years or something like that, and quite weird to us as well. To most people, it's considered, you know, by anyone who's not in it, as kind of cultish. Like,
I always see people freaking out about it. He believes this, you guys. It's a real thing to him.
Yes.
It's totally normal in America.
I know. Exactly. I can't. Well, you've been showing me little videos of pastors and stuff like that saying, "We will lick the floor. You could not be safer in this room." Everyone, like, you know,
telling the parishioners that they're
hug
never going to
close.
Yeah, gather in the mega church and shake hands with everyone because the Jesus will protect you from the virus.
Yeah, and I have to lift my jaw off the floor. I've never seen anything so fucking crazy. It's so insane. Yeah. I mean, I'm standing all over people's religious freedom there, but what the fuck? Wow. Anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. But yeah, China's been the loudest voice saying, hey, maybe end those Iran sanctions because you're literally murdering people.
That disgusts me. That actually makes me feel sick in my tummy.
Trump increased the sanctions.
It's just murder.
Yeah, just killing people. We get all these Trump supporters telling us, he's ending the wars. He's no Bush. He's no Obama. He's trying to bring peace to the world. He's just as much of a mass murderer.
Right.
How many Venezuelans has he killed? We don't even know how many Venezuelans he's killed now. The last we heard, it was like 40,000 from sanctions, but that was, what, a year ago?
Yeah.
Or almost? It was a long time ago. It's definitely...
worse.
It's definitely way, way worse now, and that's before the virus has really smashed them.
Right.
And every Venezuelan death that happens as a result of this virus is going to be on Trump as well.
And Syria, I'm really worried about that.
Yeah, they increased sanctions on Syria, too. They don't have any virus cases that we know about yet, but that's going to kill a lot of people as well, the sanctions. Yeah, and China's been helping Italy, helping what, Serbia?
Yeah, yeah. And in a big way, too, in not just talk, but in actual supplies
They've been shipping tests to everyone. I think they shipped some here, too.
I think they did, yeah. So... I just, yeah, well, you know, like it's kind of like the good dad, bad dad analogy. I keep going back to Trump is a really bad dad, and you do not want to be around him when you're sick. Like, imagine if Trump was your dad, and he was the only one you had around when you were sick. It's like, well, go to your room, I guess. Shut the door. I feed yourself, and you know, I've got people to kill. Yeah. But yeah, it's kind of, come on, we got to look after each other, and China's doing that better.
Yeah. Number three, this "I don't care, I got mine" mentality will not save you in an apocalypse. You're far better off being a person that has built up a lot of goodwill currency than someone who has just hoarded regular currency that could turn into nothing at any time.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about that before, about the goodwill currency that's come into play now. You know, as people get less and less actual money, especially really rich people who just buy whatever, you know, all the goodwill that they need. We saw Bloomberg, like, he basically just bought an election. No one likes him. No one. So that's all goodwill that he bought.
He tried to buy an election.
Well, he tried to buy an
until
election.
Until he had to appear on camera and act like a human being instead of a fucking reptile.
Yeah. So, in the end, I mean, goodwill will always be more valuable than real currency.
But he tried to use it as a literal substitute goodwill. Like, he was buying up all those shills, saying, you got to contact all, messages to all your contacts and stuff saying support Bloomberg, and none of them were really into it. None of them were putting any creativity into it or anything.
Right.
They were just using the copy and paste thing. And when people would tell them that, we heard a lot of stories about when people would tell them, oh, fuck off, they would be like, yeah, I agree, I'm voting for Bernie.
Yeah, but this is a job, it's a job. So yeah, see, that all falls away. Like, money can only buy so much fake goodwill, and people see it through it now. They do. Like, I think before the internet too, that's another thing that has really opened people's eyes to the fact that people can be very duplicitous, especially if they have a lot of money, and create these auras of popularity that really should be questioned. You should look at people and their actions and what they're actually doing in the world, rather than what the story that they're telling about themselves in the world. And when you can afford a lot of PR people around you, you can tell really good stories about yourself while doing the most heinous shit. So
comes down to narrative control over and over again.
Over and over again, yeah. So,
but yeah, there are actual scientific studies, y'all can look this up, saying that wealth kills your empathy center. They've researched past a certain threshold of wealth, you lose the ability to empathize with people. And the theory is that it's because you no longer have to rely on actual goodwill. So you lose your ability. You lose the part of you that is always checking in with to see how people are doing.
Yeah, reading people's faces, seeing
how they feel, what they want.
Yeah.
And because you can just throw money at people and get stuff from them.
Yeah, yeah. Huh, so I think that'll be, that's a really interesting turning point for me, because I've often thought about this, how we were prepared for this apocalypse by all these dystopian narratives, and how wrong they were going to be, they're going to turn out. As much as I want to be like, I'm quite happy to dress up all Mad Max, you know, if that's going to be the costume of the apocalypse, I am down. I will get my hair as big as possible. I'll wear as much leather as you like. But, yeah, aside from the actual aesthetics, tank girl, you know, yeah. There was really no truth in that. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, when people are under stress, they realize that their best chance is to knit together, create community, and to help each other out.
Number four, you are only as healthy as the sickest member of your community. That homeless guy you've been passing by and ignoring every day? His health matters to you when it comes to COVID-19.
Yeah, I think that's become very clear to everyone, isn't it? It's something that people innately knew, that, you know, our health is reliant on this, you know, you're only as healthy as the sickest person in your community. But for a lot of people, they just totally ignored it, like, and kind of thought, oh, well, you know, if I have good health insurance, I can pretty much get through anything and it doesn't really matter. This has brought this into focus.
Yeah, because it's a virus that does not discriminate on the basis of class.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how rich you are. It will come for you.
Yeah, we saw that with the Universal CEO.
Yeah.
In some ways, that's why people are at the top are acting on this. It may not have been a big deal if it was just something that was hurting people, like, you know, poverty does.
Right. Yeah.
Hurting poor people, I mean.
Yeah. And California is now housing the homeless. They're contracting a bunch of hotels to get the homeless off the streets in order to contain this disease. Not out of compassion, not because it's the right thing to do. Not even like as Salt Lake City has learned, it's because it's actually more cost effective to just house the homeless.
Right.
Because you save yourself all the ER bills and stuff. They only did it because they're trying to not get sick and they know that they could die or their parents could die.
Yeah.
So now they're finally doing the right thing for a very limited time and then back out on the street you go.
Right, yeah. But I mean, how are we going to do that? How are people going to... I'm not sure where we'll be in a few months' time when we come out the other side of this, but I am really curious as to whether or not people will let that happen.
Whether they will cede the ground that they took.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Why should they? Like, you know, they can just stand that. Like, you know, we're so used to sociopaths like moving in and taking stuff from us and then not giving it back. This could be an area where we take our stuff back and yeah. just stop.
Yeah. Normally it's the other way. Normally every inch you get, it's like a serrated blade, you know, every inch that they take, you're never getting back.
Right. We find that with surveillance and
the neoliberal dismantling of, and privatization and dismantling of healthcare systems. That's what happened to NHS.
Right. Exactly. Take a little bit and they say, oh, well, you know, it's just temporary or whatever. You never get that back.
I'm just squeezing your neck a little bit harder. It's a little bit harder. Don't worry about it. It's like the python. That's how pythons kill. They wait for the animal to breathe out and then they take up that space and they never give it back again.
Right.
And then it breathes out again and then they take up that space again. And before they know it, they have a meal.
Right.
Just like that. The oligarchy is just like a python.
Well, maybe this is our chance to reverse all of that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. But yeah, I just can't get over that California thing. You spent time with me in California. You never see homeless people here.
Right.
It's not really a thing. And they were just everywhere.
Oh, it was that was incredible to me. And apparently it's got worse since we were there.
Right, yeah. Because of the opiate epidemic.
Yeah.
And San Francisco is just like a war zone. And I guess now maybe they're finally giving people some shelter.
Right. I mean, and yeah, good.
Number five, capitalists and libertarians are finding out what the rest of us have known all along. And that is that shit happens and sometimes you need help and your life is worth something even if you're not able to work.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of people under the delusion that because they were born in in a privileged family with white skin and a dick, that that everything that they have, they worked hard for. And, it's all theirs. It's, you know, it's one of those things it's just the luck of the draw, basically. And, right. You know, especially if you're born male, you have a lot more privileges and a lot more ability to go out and make things happen for yourself. Your white skin will definitely aid you in that way as well. And then if you have, you know, a middle class or upper class background, that's even better. If you go to a college that's where you can network, like you've already got like a leg up there. There's all these invisible legs up that people get. Mm. And so there's this kind of, this tranche of people who really think that they got to where they are just by their pure willpower and grit and determination.
And it's actually just a religious belief. It's exactly the same as the Hindus and Buddhists who look at a poor person and they go, ah, yeah, well, karma.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't get that good karma like I did.
Right. This is the way that we kind of justify the fact that we're doing better than other people, and, you know, kind of absolve ourselves of our own guilt about that. Mm. Yeah, so it's, and as you said before, this disease is not discriminating upon, you know, with class. And so therefore, they're going to find themselves not being able to run their business or not being able to go to work and, you know, being stuck at home, perhaps being really sick. You know, sometimes this sickness has been giving people ongoing lung problems and things like that. And they'll find themselves in a really bad situation where they need help. And it doesn't make them less of a person. It doesn't mean that their life is less any. It doesn't mean that, you know, they're not a quality dude. It means that they need help, and we all need help at different points.
All of a sudden, them handouts will start to sound pretty good.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, you
It's just a word that they put on a normal thing and then stigmatize. Yes, give the person who needs help, hand it to them, yes.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I mean, often like these handouts or this help or whatever is just supplementing the fact that a lot of really important jobs do not get paid, like child rearing, child caring, looking after the elderly, looking after disabled people. These are all things that do not get paid for by capitalism. So there's no business plan that will ever pay someone to stay at home with their disabled kid. That's just not a thing. That just doesn't happen. So that's when safety nets, these handouts, so-called handouts, have to step in and give you money so that you can keep going and doing the job. Do the work. You're actually doing work. Do the work that you need to do.
To create a healthy society for the good of the collective.
Yeah. And to create, like, you know, like a wonderful society. We need great children. We need healthy, happy children to grow into great adults who go out and be productive or not productive. I don't even care anymore. Like, I think this whole busyness notion is really fucked up. We've got to start actually valuing doing nothing, because that's so, where the planet's at right now.
It would actually be a lot better for everyone to have a not productive citizen who isn't out there trying to figure out how to destroy the planet for money.
Right, yeah, yeah. Destroy themselves self-destructively.
You know, elevate the price of a certain drug 40 times its value in order to become a billionaire.
Right, yeah, yeah. That person is like, you know, I would much rather that person at home doing absolutely nothing than doing all of those things.
A lot of the people who are routinely in the news, you think, it would just be so great if they were doing nothing. That you don't have to kill them. They don't need to be dead or anything. You just play video games. Yes. Chill out. Read a book, man. Sit down. It would be so much better for everyone.
Yeah, you're not helping. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And that is a real mind virus that humans have, that we're not busy, then we're not being productive. And if we're not being productive, then someone's like, well, I think that's capitalism. If you're not doing anything, then you're probably going backwards in your money. And if you're going backwards in your money, then you are putting yourself to the detriment of, you know, you're actually putting yourself in danger. Mm. Yeah, we need to get rid of that notion altogether. Because, yeah, the planet can't handle it. It needs people to be not on the roads all the time. It needs people not buying crap to fill the hole in their soul.
Right. It was sustainable when there were, you know, a few hundred million of us maybe. But it can't handle it now. There's too many of us. There's too many people to be busy all the time.
Right,
yeah. We need a lot more people chilling out.
We do. Well, we got them now.
Yeah.
We're all chilling.
And we're finding out that it's actually not necessarily so bad.
No, it's pretty cool, actually.
And we're figuring out that, hey, maybe that commute to work isn't actually necessary, and maybe I can say that to my boss.
Yeah, well, yeah, how many jobs are finding out right now that you do not have to be in the office for them?
Right.
And how many jobs are we finding out right now are total busy work, don't need to be done at all?
Mm.
How many jobs are we going to find out, you know, actually, once people stop doing them, it's better for all of us? You know,
and how many jobs should be rewarded and supported a lot more?
Right. We were at the supermarket getting our supplies and stuff, and thinking about that guy who's just putting our groceries through and thinking, that guy, he's on the front.
He's the fireman in this disaster.
Yes. He really needs to get paid a lot more.
Yeah. He's the emergency room. He's really doing the, he's essential infrastructure.
Right. And that's becoming very apparent, isn't it? Anyone who needs to keep their job at this point in time should definitely be elevated in terms of wealth, I think.
Wealth and esteem.
And esteem, yes.
Especially in America. Nobody, like, really shits on you for working at a grocery store or whatever here. But in America, it's something you're not meant to be proud of. You're meant to, and it's okay to be very disdainful.
I found that really hard, too. Going into McDonald's or whatever and people...
Oh, yeah, you flip burgers. Go flip burgers, you scum.
Yeah. Someone has to flip fucking burgers.
You gotta flip them.
If you're gonna eat burgers, yeah, someone's gotta flip
someone
them.
Someone is eating the burgers. What do you... What?
And I was telling you, like, you know, when I was, 18, 19, looking for my pathway through, you know, what I was gonna do in life or whatever, so many of... my friend's parents, they were all into this at this time. Oh, you should start working at McDonald's. They've got pathways to, you know, you could be like a manager and stuff. Mm. And I thought about it. It sounded like a reasonable thing because you get paid a living wage here. And I think that makes all the difference. Right. So when you're getting paid normally, like everyone else, then...
It's not this disgraceful thing.
Yeah, because you are literally being undervalued.
Right. Do you know what that thing is in America that people say, hey, you could join this when you're 18 years old and it'll take care of you and it's actually really respectable and people will respect you and you can be proud of doing that.
You're not going to say the army, are you?
Yeah, that's what it is. Join the military. That's the option that you have. It's, yeah, the McDonald's, go sign up for McDonald's, work at McDonald's here is comparable to just joining the military over there. Shit. I saw someone saying on Twitter a while back, I think it was that football player guy, I can't remember his name, they don't need to have a draft in America. Poverty is the draft.
Right. Justin Jackson, is it?
I think so. That sounds
something like
it.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. It's just the funnel, isn't it? That's the way. Yeah. That's. Oh God. Oh. And then you go in there and you think, oh well, I'm just doing this for college or whatever, and then you become a part of that tribe. And they have to work very hard on your psychology to break it down so you can actually kill people. And it's just the worst thing that really can happen to anyone, I think. It's
horribly
debilitating.
Abusive.
And, you know...
It's horrible that they do that to people.
The people who come out of there and heal from that are often the most amazing people because it's like an incredible journey you have to go to unpack all the things that have been put in your head and to kind of deal with the fact that you've been doing the things that you've been doing.
Well, it's like drug people get over drugs, right?
Yeah.
You know, you either stay on them and your life falls apart or you find something deep inside yourself and come out of it way better than most people.
Yeah, like Russell Brand, you know? Mm. Yeah. Just this remarkable inner strength and clarity to be able to see through the crap that's been put in your head. That's really something notable amongst vets, the anti-war vets. You know, they're really top blokes and women.
There's two types.
Yeah,
there's the ones who overcame the brainwashing and they're really cool, and then there's the ones who didn't, who are just, oh fuck you.
Well, that's you like that. I'm like, oh you poor thing. Yeah. Like, oh god. Yeah. Because you know. It's not their fault.
No, I know.
But it's, you know, they're also going out in the world, standing for wars, and hold that patriotism thing that holds it all together and stuff, and the thank you for your service stuff, and it's so toxic, but also like. It's totally understandable that if you had done that in your life, that you would gaslight yourself into that situation, into that comfort zone.
Yeah, but it would be a lot less easy if everyone else wasn't joining in that gaslighting as well.
Yeah.
Everyone in society is telling you, oh, yeah, it's really good that you're going and killing people for Raytheon.
Yeah.
Anyway, Number six, having a giant homeless population and an even larger uninsured and an even more vast underinsured population impacts everyone, no matter how high the gates on your gated community.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit about, like, we've already kind of talked about that.
Okay, you want to move on to the next one?
Yeah.
Number seven, the private sector can't respond to health crises because its only desire is to make money. More sick people means more customers. A pandemic is a financial boon to them. That's why it will always fail humans.
Yeah. We really got to kind of get past the notion that money is going to be any kind of solution to health problems, to liberty problems, so bad for prisons and things like that, and military. As soon as you add money into those mixes, you will just make more of that stuff. You'll make more prisoners and more wars and more sick people.
How weird is it that you can make more wars? It works. It does work that way there because of the military-industrial complex. Like, you can never get away with going to, say, Iraq and going and killing a million people and then selling their body parts for money. Like, that would not sell well on the American stage.
Yeah.
But what you can do is pay a bunch of lobbyists to sell, to pitch this war and make this war happen, and then kill a million people with really expensive weapons that you made and make the same amount of money that you would have made selling their body parts.
Right.
Probably a lot more, actually.
It's just narrative management.
It's the same thing. It's the same result. Those Iraqis are just as dead.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's because they put money into it, and that's a big part of the reason why there's this big globe-spanning military empire. But yeah.
But and also with healthcare, you know, anyone who's started a bit, like I ran a business, and you quickly realize that you're going to have to get customers and you're going to have to make them loyal to you and you're going to keep them coming back to you for reasons. If you apply any sort of business model, that is the basic business model.
Yeah, you
apply
that
to patients, you turn them into customers, and therefore you're making them dependent on you. So you'll need to make them dependent on the drugs that you give them. You need to make sure that they don't really get well, you know, that they're just always a little bit sick. Don't want to kill them because, you know, that's losing your revenue stream, but also, like, just keep them a little bit sick all the time so they're coming back to you.
Right. Whereas if it's not for profit, it's actually the other way around. It's in your interest to keep them the hell out of there.
Right.
Get them the hell out of your emergency rooms and stuff so that it can work efficiently.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we've got to kind of switch the model so that, and that's why single payer works, is that's because then you got businesses competing for the one single payer. So the negotiator, the patient is in the most powerful position, which is where you always want a patient to be. Right. You want them to be able to choose, and you want them to be getting the most of the best care that they can for the lowest price.
Right. And so you don't wind up paying $10 for one of those tiny paper cups that you put the pills in.
That's insane, isn't it? I mean, they put a little markup on everything. Mm. And it all adds up into, you know, like tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars just for, you know, a simple illness. And, you know, when this COVID-19 thing started happening, a woman went and tried to get treated and came out. She didn't even get tested, I don't think, in the end.
I am certain she did not.
Right. And she got a $10,000 bill for it.
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are you doing there? Like, you're just kind of like painting her with gold? What the hell? How do you make $10,000 for someone walking in and saying, I'm a bit sick? And they say, yeah, you're sick, but we're not going to test you. Like,
and you know, there are so many people thinking, we're going to make so much money off of this.
Right.
They're not saying it out loud. They're not saying it like they're proud of it. But, like, you know, everyone demonized all those people who ran around buying up sanitary wipes and toilet paper in order to sell them at an inflated price.
Right.
On Amazon or eBay or whatever.
They're just doing exactly what pharmaceuticals are doing right now.
On a much smaller scale.
Yeah.
And they actually got shot down by the government. Like, people tried to say, no, you're not allowed to do that to them. But Big Pharma and all them are doing that exactly that right now. They're trying to figure out how they can make the most of that. They're scrambling to try and get the vaccine so that they can have a monopoly on that. And
yeah, I mean, and no vaccine should ever be patented. I don't believe that patent system should exist at all in the healthcare system.
That's such bullshit.
It's such bullshit. This is for the common good. All of this information is for the common good. And so that means, you know, when people, scientists are putting to, like, looking at stuff, they're keeping all these closed doors on information as well. So people are not collaborating, we're not getting to solutions faster. Capitalism puts the brakes on innovation when it comes to...
Could you imagine if we could hive mind that shit?
And if there was absolutely nothing in it other than the glory of coming up with the solution, like, you know,
if those people, all them scientists were on like Twitter and YouTube and stuff going, hey, check it out, look what we discovered, you guys, you can use this.
Yes. So fast, we could solve so many problems so quickly with no patent system across the board, basically. But especially when it comes to health,
right.
I just do not see it. It really puts walls on people's learning and creates these black areas where they can really just gouge prices and the most vulnerable people.
Number 8. Trump has no idea what he's doing or what anyone he hired is doing.
Yeah.
That's very true. I know nothing about that. What, huh? Where they were like, you canceled the
CDC,
the pandemic response thing, and he's just like, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, but then there's tape of him actually knowing about that.
Right, he did know about it. He was just lying. But in the meantime, his supporters were trying to defend that as, oh, it was actually John Bolton who did that.
Yes.
John Bolton canceled that.
Which I can totally believe.
Yeah, totally. But also, like, John Bolton, the guy he hired and kept on his staff for 18 months or whatever it was.
I didn't know anything about that. Oh, that guy.
I hate that guy. How am I, Donald Trump, supposed to have any idea what's going on in the Trump administration? Number 9. Biden could not handle any of this.
He couldn't. I don't think he could handle this any better.
I don't think Biden could handle eating a bowl of peas by himself.
Yeah. Well, there's that as well.
He's a mess.
He really is a mess. You know, yeah. I mean, for many, many reasons. There is no reason to believe at all that he would be doing any better right now. And his handlers would be running the show, and who the fuck knows what they want to do. Probably the same things that they're doing through Trump. And we would be just getting the same garbled bullshit out of his mouth. Just, you know, slightly different accent and
a little slightly different skin pigmentation.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, Biden could not do better.
Number 10, Bernie maybe could.
I reckon Bernie maybe could. And, you know, I think he came up with a $2,000 UBI.
Right, yeah, as a senator, and he wants to get that through. That would be awesome.
And that's $2,000 a month, yeah?
Yeah. And that's another one of those things where people might not see it. People might say, nah, we're keeping that.
Right, yeah.
Don't take that away from us.
Yeah, yeah. I think that would be awesome. I think if every household, you know, had $2,000 just underneath their belt, and then anything that they made on top of that was, you know, gravy or whatever, you know, people who wanted to chill out could.
Mm.
And you could have like a stay-at-home parent. Oh, how wonderful would that be? You know, that's right. So good for the kids. And people would just have so much more freedom and creativity and to actually create things and innovate things and get inspired and stuff without having to work this 9-to-5 drudgery all the time. So, yeah, I think Bernie, like, like he's been proven right about Medicare for All. America would have been a lot better off had this hit with Medicare for All in place.
Yeah.
100%. Everyone understands that, even the people who are pretending not to. Yeah. This is the ad hoc system that's, you know, all these different separate players, and they talk about the relationships between their healthcare providers. We don't want to interrupt the relationship between Americans and their healthcare providers.
Oh, no. Oh, no, not my healthcare provider. Not my insurance.
My good relationship, too. Don't interrupt that awesome relationship.
Not my heartwarming relationship with Kaiser Permanente.
Don't interrupt that. We're having a loving conversation.
The sprawling mega corporation that I have such a deep, intimate, personal relationship with.
Yes. Yeah. So there's all these kind of little kind of satellites, these little silos going on, and they can't coordinate. And the Republicans are like, oh, I really thought that, you know, the private sector would have stepped in here, you know, 8 weeks ago. They actually said that. Which is just like saying, I really thought God would have stepped in here 8 weeks ago.
It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, that's true. The way that people think about money is very faith-based, very kind of God-like. The invisible hand of the markets. And yeah, so they really thought that somehow money would work against itself and stop something that's going to create a lot of money for itself. That's not, you know, and then I work in the better interests of actual people. Think about the value of people rather than the value of itself.
It's this system that was invented by people. It's just this imaginary construct. It has no innate wisdom.
No, and we know what it does. We know that it really likes to make more of itself. Mm. And
like cancer.
Yes, and then we know that it makes people hard and that they have to make hard decisions. And then, we glorify these hard decisions that these CEOs have to make. They have to make the hard decisions of, you know, letting people die.
1,000 people.
Yeah, yeah. And so it encourages sociopathic behavior. So therefore, the people at the top are even more sociopathic than normal. And they don't care. They just want to make sure that the shareholders get their fat bottom line at the end of everything. That's nothing to do with the health of people.
Right. Not that Bernie is really in the race anymore. he's there, but...
I know. Well, you know, and I kind of think I'm not even disappointed. I'm like, not really. I'm like, well, have fucking Biden. All right, go for it. Look, you wanted Trump so bad. You wanted Hillary. Okay, let's see what happens there. They just keep having to faceplant, you know? This is... And that, the faceplant that is going to happen is just in the works with Biden. It's a few months from now. It's going to be glorious. And, you know, maybe I want to see that.
Just have the mechanisms of the machine exposed in front of everyone.
Yeah.
Get the whole world talking about, why does the most powerful government in the world have two dementia patients arguing over who is going to lead it? What is happening? Nothing either of those people are saying in this debate makes sense.
It's like, you know, the film Idiocracy. Mm. Like, I watched that years ago and thought, oh, God, that's a horrible dystopian vision for the future. That is what that debate that's coming up is going to look like. Biden versus Trump is just going to be Idiocracy, like just a little snippet of that movie. And I think it... Hopefully that's the thing that people go, holy fuck, we've got to stop this.
Well, and it's also, and all the stuff we've also been talking about with how this whole COVID-19 thing is forcing everyone to be aware of class consciousness in a way they weren't before. Not just in our little insulated lefty circles where we are so smug and we know everything, and our little 0.05% of the population that is plugged into those circles, but actually in the mainstream that matters and makes changes.
Right. I shared a BuzzFeed article today that was all about how differently famous people were being treated with COVID-19 compared to normal people who actually had it and were really, really sick.
Right. I looked at that article after you shared it. It was like 1.5 million views and it had just come out.
Right. And so people, this is just becoming mainstream, that the fact that people are treated incredibly differently because of the money that they make and that it's not fair. like as well. You know, we probably knew the first part, but the second part, that it's not fucking fair and that everyone deserves, you know, the same treatment when you're sick. This is just coming into focus more and more and more. So people like Biden, he's just looking so old hat already. Like everything that he's like, not that he wasn't before, but Bernie's actual platform is becoming just common sense, mainstream common sense, as Bernie kind of leaves. And that, I think, look, let's just take it as our cue. It really was not me, us. It is us. We have to keep going. We have to keep fighting. What are we going to do? Just lay down and die? We're not going to do that. That's not what we, you know, we, no, we keep going and we find different avenues, and there's going to be lots and lots of different opportunities for us to shine lights on how unfair everything is and how it drastically needs to change as we move into this cocoon stage, the COVID-19 cocoon stage.
Right. Yeah. And like we keep saying, 2020 is just getting started. There's so many other things that are going to start waking people up too. We're appear to be on a collision course with consciousness.
We do. The great unpatterning continues, and who knows what's coming. This is not the last of the surprises. I'm sure of it.
Can't possibly be.
Yeah. They call it revelations for a reason.
Number 11, and America with Medicare for All would be handling this very differently right now. We already talked about that. Number 12, we need some workarounds now that it's apparent our leaders have gone missing. I think we're going to be surprised about how well we can manage this just by using Facebook groups and so on to organize help and supplies for each other.
Yeah. So already people, there's a lot of documents out there right now. People are putting them together. How to get in contact with your neighbors without actually getting, you know, up in their faces. You know, putting letters in letterboxes and stuff like that and saying, I'm organizing a Facebook group. You want to get involved if, you know, I'm available for babysitting or picking up groceries or whatever. You know, I'm a healthy 45-year-old or whatever in my case. So I think people are going to start realizing maybe this is the anarchist in me, but like that really we can self-organize very quickly and a lot more efficiently.
On a grassroots level.
As long as we're not
organizing going mainstream.
Right, yeah. As long as we're not looking to leaders and waiting for their responses and waiting for them to actually do stuff, we can just get going and start organizing things and start organizing society the way that we need it to be, the way that we want it to be.
And the government is just going to be this kind of voice that comes in and interrupts things sometimes, like the wah, 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 in the Peanuts cartoons. Wah, 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 wah. Okay, but whatever. We're doing this thing here that's important. Yeah. Stop interrupting us.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, maybe they might start throwing money at us so that we kind of pay them some, like, actual attention.
Well, that would be really cool.
That would be cool. We do need that to happen too. We do need, you know, major stimulus packages. We need lots and lots of help. We need to freeze on rent and mortgages, and we need freeze on utility bills, and we need, food supplies and things like that. In China, they basically had this Uber Eats system going, a state-run Uber Eats, so you could just call and get whatever food you needed delivered to your door, McDonald's or whatever. Like, it was... that would be fun. I like Uber Eats. It's a real treat.
Yeah, that would be cool. Number 13. When Republicans insisted that the big corporations be exempt from the sick pay bill, but the SMEs were not, they are showing you that they don't care about anyone other than billionaires. All the entrepreneurs who aim to be in that club are mere insects to them, and they have just squashed you like the bug they think you are. They do not deserve your loyalty.
Yeah, I always... Because I was a part of that when I was running my business at this SME, small to medium enterprise. I was kind of a part of that culture there for a while. And, people, like, they're ambitious and entrepreneurial and stuff, and they're excited about their venture and everything, and it is exciting, but they tend to get this idea that they're kind of major players. cute, you know, and not just actually kind of like running their own job. Basically, most businesses are like jobs that you bought for yourself. So that there's kind of some semblance of independence there. But when things like this happen, you find out that you are not a player. Like you are not entitled to any of the big tax cuts or any of the, in fact, they squash the shit out of you. They really does seem to be this kind of, like this disdain. That like the fact that you're even trying to run a business, you know, that they'll be like, oh, good job. But, you know, also like squish. They just like for here, the in Australia's situation, the GST was a tax that came in. John Howard, you know, a right wing prime minister, and brought in this GST, a goods and services tax. And what it amounted to was a tax on small business. It just had to be. Like, just had to find 10% of your earnings to give over to the government every time. And it didn't affect the big businesses. And, you know, it was a tax on everyone, but it was especially heinous to those who were just trying to get a little family business going. And they do that all the time. And this is one example. And people need to understand this, that the big Republican guys, they do not care about you. In fact, they will throw you under the bus whenever they can. And in this particular case, they decided that the Democrats said, we would like, you know, for the businesses to pay for sick pay for a certain amount of time. And they said, yeah, sure, but no one with a business over 500 people.
Which is like every company you've ever heard of.
Yeah. All the major companies are exempt from this. All the major companies that could easily fit this into their bottom line and who have the most actual employees who could make the largest impact in giving them sick pay.
Yeah. The ones with the largest number of employees moving around in buildings together.
Right.
Infecting
everyone.
In
close quarters or whatever.
And the ones who could totally absorb the cost. No, only you've got to protect the billionaires.
Yeah.
Only the little mom and pop ones, the low-level millionaires. We got to protect the billionaires.
Yeah, who have like three or four people on staff or whatever.
It's so weird how like millionaires or even people who are just doing okay, middle-class people, will defend the billionaire class because they feel like they're kind of the same as them.
They really do.
You just move. There's just this one click that you move. We've had this longtime friend together from our Facebook days, and he came at you on Twitter a while back, and he's like a millionaire. He's like a low-level person. He runs some construction job or something, and he came at you really aggressively for criticizing fucking billionaires.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, they don't care. They don't see. You're not one of them. You're not part of the club.
Yeah, you really don't owe them any loyalty. And
you have no idea what a microbe you are to them.
Right, and they will squash you. And I hope he saw what happened here.
Right.
And
they just did
the
squash
lesson.
Him.
Yeah, because that will really affect him. Mm. And it's not fucking fair. Like, you know, it's not fair. And the fact that the Democrats let that go through and was like, oh, this is a compromise. Oh, I hate their compromises. Oh, my God, that's the most evil word, the way that they use it. It's like, it's always, yeah, we made a compromise. We're going to war. Yeah, we made a compromise. We're going to let these people die. It's always, always the most disgusting.
We'll compromise on how bad we're going to fuck you.
Yeah.
So this guy here, this asshole, wanted to stick the knife 12 inches into your back. But we stopped that. We're only going to stick it 6 inches in. You're welcome.
Vote blue,
hashtag,
no matter who.
Hashtag resistance. Number 14, the Democrats allowing that idiocy and calling it compromise shows you what traitors they are to the human race as well. Is there anything more you wanted to say
about
that?
No, that we've said that one, I guess.
Number 15, humans have a glitch where they claim their successes as their own and blame their failures on others. You can see in our leadership how obviously toxic this one self-gaslight is.
Yeah, well, Trump is the most obvious example of that, isn't he? He claims all his successes is his own, blames everyone for his failures, and has gone through life. You can just tell that's the way that he's gone through life. Just it's a transactional thing for him, and it's why he feels like Teflon, you know, he just kind of glides on through.
Just pushes all his failures off on other people.
Right. And it's something that, you know, it is something that we do. Every human can find it in themselves, I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure that that's kind of, like, that comes in with the general conditioning
package.
It's easy
to criticize. It's more difficult to find it in yourself.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, if you want to help humanity, that's a good self-inquiry. Like, that's a good way to really get honest with yourself, get humble, and work out how you're doing that in the world. Because I'm pretty sure you are. Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure we all do it in all small ways. I still find ways that I do it. Like, and got to chuck it out, got to make it conscious, got to stop doing it. Like, you know, got to vom that shit up. So, yeah. That would be kind of like, I feel like that was the big lesson this week for me anyway. That was like what I was observing a lot. Everyone trying really hard to all these really powerful people who have been in power for a long time saying, oh, that was nothing to do with me.
Right.
Oh, but just a few months ago, you were like, oh, me, that was me, that was me. I did it. Me.
Like, right. The soaring economy, record levels.
look at me.
In the economy. That China.
Yeah. So, yeah. Let's just take responsibility for the things that we can't take responsibility for, and don't take responsibility for the things that you can't change. You know, that's the kind of essential sovereign boundary that I think we're finding right now.
Right.
That it?
No. Number 16. One last one. Everyone needs a break right now, and this would be the perfect time. But because of this stupid pretend Monopoly game we play, then everyone is going to be at home stressing about money rather than taking the breather that they so desperately need.
Yeah. That's that guts me, really. I've thought for years, for a very long time, that we all need a break. Everyone, the whole world just needs a break. The planet needs a break. Everyone just needs a nap. Yeah. Just to, like, recalibrate. Just actually to sleep. I'm sure half of us are deep sleep deprived and just running on empty all the time. And just to have a freaking nap. But it's really hard if you're at home and you know you're not making any money this month, but the bills are still going to keep coming in. And that makes it really hard to relax, you know. So I went into a bit more detail in the article,
the COVID one.
Yeah, the nine thoughts on COVID-19, about how you can. I mean, I want to reassure people. I'm pretty sure we'll find solutions to all of this. We always do. I've been in some tight situations myself in my life, and I came out okay. Like,
yeah, you're not at all worried when you go to the grocery store and there's not hardly anything there. This is just normal to me. I've lived whole years and years like this.
Yeah. I kind of thrive in it now because, you have to get resourceful and creative and make something out of nothing. You know, I kind of like the challenge of that. But also, I do know that you put your foot out and the stepping stone rises to meet it. It always does. We're always supported, even when you feel like you're the most isolated person in the world and that no one is coming to your rescue. Life does find a way to support you. It just happens. And I don't need to believe in God or anything for it. Just actually, you know, the planet Earth wants you. It birthed you, and it requires your it requires you as a part of its whole infrastructure, and so it will give you what you need, and it always will. So you can rest assured that you'll be fine.
It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay. But even right now, when you've got all these worries about everything that's going on, and staying well, and the bills that are piling up, and you know what actually might happen with your job. Some people are just worried that they won't have a job to go back to, especially if you've got your own small business or whatever. That can be really frightening as well. Just notice that right now, you have everything you need. Like, there's, in this moment, there is nothing that you require. You've got your bum on the chair, you're breathing in fresh air, you've got a full belly, and if you don't, you've got food in the fridge. And for this moment, you're okay. So you are allowed to relax right now. You can just let it all go in this moment and just really chill out and take that big nap or whatever you want to do. If you want to have a cry about it, or like just go and watch some Netflix, some comedy, just forget about it, have a bath or a shower, or just go out and be in the fresh air for a bit, or cuddle someone or something, cuddle your dog, and just really dig into the fact that you're safe right now and you're allowed to relax. And this is the first time you've been allowed to relax probably all your life, you know. Let's take this opportunity to really kind of dig into relaxation right now.
Shall we wrap?
Yeah, so that was the first edition of The Cocoon with Tim Foley and Caitlin Johnston. I don't know how often we'll do this, but...
Yeah, it'll kind of be catch as catch can, I guess.
Yeah. But, if you like it, let me know in the comments if you want to hear more. If you have any questions, always, I love questions. And share it out as well. That's always helpful. But most of all, relax and be well.
Thanks, y'all. Yeah.